All right, God bless you all, and greetings from Oklahoma. My mom, Martha, and my brother, Wes, are here, Vicky and myself, and sure thankful to be able to share the greatness of God's word. Blessings and greetings to all of you there and all of you on the conference call, which I know have come far and wide. I know Wally and Vicky Reeves are on there from the great state of Maine, and we got other folks from, I think, Alaska and throughout the states and other states. So, blessing to be together with you all. On Thursday night, I did a sharing, which I want to attempt to, again, coordinate or sort of infiltrate or whatever the word is into this sharing. It was called, They Need to Exercise More. And, you know, here in this new year, we're still on, what is this, the 15th of January? We're just kind of getting rolling in here to the new year. But, you know, when a new year gets started, it causes folks, a lot of folks, to think about all sorts of things, and one of which is their health, eating better sleep habits, and exercising. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd say probably over the years, you know, as the new year starts, someone would say, you know what, I need to exercise more. And health club memberships go up pretty much a lot during the holiday time. And then by springtime, it seems like a lot of those new members are no longer attending. But as spiritually minded people, I want to share just about our ability and the need for us to be conscious also to exercise our spiritual authority. So I've entitled this teaching this morning, The New Me. In Matthew chapter 10, if you want to take your Bibles and turn there, and also we will be taking a quick look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1, two very special records about Jesus and his interaction with the disciples at a particular point in time. So Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, says, And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And then he goes through, you know, the list of all the different disciples' names. And in verse 5, it says that these 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 8, Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely what? Freely give. Freely we have received. And I believe this truth that Jesus has spoken with the disciples is still part of our mission statement, which we'll see a little bit later here. But to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. And how many times have we felt this overwhelming sense of compassion as we've gone into various places in our lives and just seen such great need that people have? And you'll notice tracking and tracing the ministry of Jesus that many times, if not all the time, he was moved with a tremendous amount of compassion. And that then moved into the realm of the miraculous, because he had such a great heart of love. And boy, if we're walking in love, then that is that entity, let's say, that enables us and energizes us to bring forth God's goodness and grace and power into the senses realm. Also in Luke chapter 9, I mentioned, if you want to take a look over there real quick, I want to just look at the first verse. Luke 9, 1 says, Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. And then there's another word here. It says what? Authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This was a special thing that Jesus gave to these individuals at this particular time, but then he laid down that mission statement. He's going to give them the power and the authority. And what is authority? It is the ability and the right to do something. Say my brother works for a particular company and they have authorized him to go into people's homes and do early childhood development assessments. Well, you know what? He's got the authority of his company, which is authorized by the state of Kansas, to do these types of evaluations and assessments, and they have other professional people come in if necessary to do further evaluations or further developmental exercises. And, you know, if I was to go in there, I wouldn't have that same authority. I wouldn't have the same expertise to make those types of judgment calls and to make those kind of decisions. And so it's that ability or right to do something. Think about a police officer. You know, a policeman is given the authority by the state or the authoritative people that he, you know, works for. And because of the uniform, because of the gun, because of the car he drives, he takes a lot of authority. And probably if you're on the freeway and those flashing red lights come on, you're not going to step on the gas. You're going to pull over. And that authority that has been given to him allows him to perform in a certain way. Amen? Yeah. So guess what? The authority given to us, yeah, even today, is the authority which is spiritual, and it is the God-given right to exercise your rights and privileges as a child of God to utilize God's power through the manifestations of Holy Spirit, which Bob spoke about briefly, three manifestations. There's six more, and they're listed in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. So let's just have a quick look at those. We've got spiritual power. We've got a lot of power. And when we pray, we use the name of Jesus Christ, we are exercising spiritual authority in the senses realm that has been given to us, because we're using our power of attorney to command and direct authority into the senses realm. So when we say a prayer or we are involved in another activity, we're using the name of Jesus Christ. It's not, I'm praying in the name of Barney Barnhart. I'm not praying in the name of Wes Cantrell. I'm praying in the name of the Son of God, who God raised from the dead, is now seated at the right hand of God. I'm praying in the name of Jesus Christ. All that authorization has been given to me. So I just wanted to read through these manifestations of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 10, 8 through 10. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. That's nine different manifestations of the one Spirit that is the gift from the giver, who is God. These are commonly referred to as gifts of the Spirit, which I completely understand, but these are actually manifestations of the one gift, which is Holy Spirit. It's a gift from God, who is the giver, and we are the ones who receive the gift. And so the gift is not the manifestation of the Spirit. The gift is the Holy Spirit itself. And if you look in Luke 24:49, boy, what a dynamic topic. And so, you know, maybe in this new year, you too, I mean, I believe I've made the conscious decision and the declaration that I'm going to exercise more this year. But you know what? I'm going to exercise even more so my spiritual authority. Yes, I want to eat right. Yes, I want to exercise more. Yeah, I want to take care of myself. But I also want to be my best for God. I want to utilize those things that have already been given to me that I, in some respects, don't have to any longer work for. The physical realm, yes, we have to go to the gym, we have to get out and walk, this sort of thing. But the Spirit of God that's been given to us is free. And we can say that according to Ephesians. For by grace have you been saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. So if I read my Bible in the morning and you don't, it doesn't make me any more righteous. It might make me more aware of my righteousness, and the fruit of my walk might, you know, be one thing or another. But it, spiritually, we're all on the same level playing field, which is a very awesome, wonderful blessing. Because people, so many people feel so inadequate and unworthy. Look at that thing on the screen there. Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they're worthy. That was the ministry of Jesus. And it drove the Pharisees crazy. Crazy. They didn't like the man hanging out with publicans and sinners and touching lepers and doing things that was outside of the traditional norm. And yet this was the lifestyle and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it infuriated the religious hierarchy of the day, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And for any of you who have come to watch any of the episodes of The Chosen, which I highly recommend, it is an excellent human presentation and representation, I think, of some of the things that went on in that culture, which is very, very good. So here we are in Luke 24:49. Jesus referred to the Spirit. He also called it what? The Comforter. He called it the Comforter. And in Luke 24:49, it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with" what? Just calls it power from on high here. And there was a couple other records where Jesus talked about this, and this is after the resurrection. He's speaking out and he's saying, hey guys, go to Jerusalem and wait, because the promise of the Father is coming. Now, it kind of freaked the disciples out when Jesus obviously was arrested, had this mockery of a trial, and then was crucified to the point that he even denied him for the fear in their own hearts. But it didn't stop the plan of God, did it? Jesus went to the cross. He suffered. He died. But it didn't end there. He was buried. But 3 days, 3 nights later, guess what? He arose from the dead. And it says he spent all of this time with different types of people. It says at one time he appeared to over 500 people at one time. Absolutely incredible. And he says this in Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And 52 says, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple. Doing what? Blessing and praising God. That's so awesome that they took the instruction from Jesus Christ that said at that time that he ascended into heaven, and it said they went to Jerusalem and were in the temple continually praising and worshiping God. So now take your Bibles to a familiar section, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is the record that is moving forward chronologically to the day of Pentecost. But this is that same record, basically, that you're seeing in Luke. In verse 4, it says, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit not many days hence. And of course, the disciples, you know, they were kind of in a perceiving things in kind of a different way. And that they were when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." But here's the vocal verse. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And it says, verse 9, "When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Now that was quite a day, wasn't it? Boy, I'm not sure that the disciples were prepared for this either. Jesus is speaking to them, and then it says, "When he had spoken these things, while they were there, eyewitnesses, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel and said to them, You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." This is obviously an angelic presence. These guys are looking up into heaven. These angels show up and they say, "Hey, don't be too concerned. Jesus will come back in a similar manner." What is that referring to? That's referring to the second coming of Jesus Christ, which you can read about in 1 Corinthians 15 or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and other places. That's for sure. But the point is, and what we're doing here today, is encouraging one another to exercise more. Exercise our spiritual ability, our spiritual authority, to walk in the dynamic power of showing God's goodness and grace and love and mercy into a world that is just crying out for answers. People are searching. Well, guess what? We have the answers that people are searching for. And God will put us in the divinely designed appointments so that we can then deliver whatever message is needed at that particular point in time. And I will again want to go to the record in Acts chapter 3, which is a wonderful testimony of two gentlemen who were born again, were there at the day of Pentecost. They did speak in tongues. They manifested the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 3, you're familiar maybe, but we can read a portion of it. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, which was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms, that entered into the temple." Now, you know, maybe you could consider him to be sort of a handicapped, homeless person. I'm not sure who this person was. He obviously had the resources to be carried to the temple gate daily, and I guess that means he had somebody to carry him back to wherever it was he came from. But he was asking alms, and I don't know if that's material possessions or maybe just to have people pray for him when they went into the temple. Anyway, verse 3, "Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter," it says, "fastening his eyes upon him with John, said," here's 10 bucks. Now, no, he said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, classic diamond words here, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Almost sounds like that song. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand," verse 7, "and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You know what? Maybe if you'd been lame all your life and you had this miraculous supernatural occurrence occur, you too would be walking and leaping and praising God. I think I would be. And it said all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew it was him who had sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. These people going to and from the temple all the time had seen this guy on plenty of occasions. It says that right here, verse 10. They knew it was him. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. Verse 11, and as the lame man which healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he said these inspired words, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or our own holiness we have made this man to walk? It wasn't like I said, in the name of Barney Barnhart, rise up and walk, or the name of any other person. It says in verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, he has glorified his son, whom you delivered up. You denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Those are pretty confrontational words. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof ye are witnesses. We are. Verse 16, and his name through faith in his name hath it made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Remember that authority that had been given to the disciples? That same authority has been given to every Christian person. Who has confessed Jesus as Lord and believed God raised him from the dead. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, right? Romans 10, 9 and 10. At that point, we received a tremendous, tremendous inheritance. And part of that inheritance is that now we are authorized by God through the way of Jesus Christ and what he finished on our behalf to walk in the authority and the power of the manifestations of Holy Spirit. Verse 17, and now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has shown by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. How did they know that? That was a prophecy that was given in the Old Testament. We read about that all the time, especially Isaiah talks about, you know, he was bruised for our iniquities, he was wounded for our transgressions. Verse 19, kind of preaching a salvation message here now. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Amazing. And he goes into this really quite a testimony of kind of a historical documentation of all of those things that led up to the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And boy, here you have this lame man laying at the temple gate, beautiful. Peter and John walking along. He's asking for an alms. They give him spiritual alms, let's say, spiritual deliverance by exercising the authority of God that's been given to them, that now that they are children of God. And look at chapter 4, and it says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, they were grieved that they taught the people and preached to Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Wasn't that the truth? Absolutely. But the religious hierarchy, the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, they were grieved because they preached through Jesus, the resurrection. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold until the next day. And yet verse 4 says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. You think this healing of this man lame at the Temple Gate Beautiful was causing quite a stir? This says it caused 5,000 people to turn from whatever it is they were doing to a point that they believed. And it came to pass on the morrow, verse 5, that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. And boy, that was quite a family gathering. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked him, now you're going to tell us by what power, what authority, or by what name have you done this? And here again is the golden opportunity. It says that Peter filled with what? The Holy Spirit. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people, elders of Israel, if we are this day being examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, I'm going to tell you right here and now, be it known unto all of you and to all the people of Israel, that by the what? The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. And on and on and on it goes. And they could make no denial of it because all these people, we'll look at verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing, nothing against it. He's right here. Obviously something has occurred. It's happened. And so they got to get the council together. And verse 15, it says that when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. So, we're going on? This guy's causing harm. Saying, what should we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem. And guess what? We can't deny it. It's right here in front of us. It's happened. And so that it spread, verse 17, no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they may no longer, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and they commanded them. You know what, fellas? You are to no longer speak or at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus Christ. And Peter and John, they had such a great response. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak those things which we have what? Seen and heard. And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all glorified God for that which had been done. Glory, hallelujah. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Holy cow. You talk about a record testimony of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the Spirit, exercising our spiritual authority. Really something, guys. And these were no special people. These were not seminary graduates. These were not people who had been through any specialized program. These were people who just simply believed the Word. Believed the Word. And when they saw an opportunity and it was right there in front of them, boom, they just spoke in the name of Jesus Christ. And so it causes you to wonder, that after the gathering together, you know, after Christ returns, and when we have a chance to talk later, after the resurrection of the just, maybe we can ask Moses, what was it like to part the Red Sea? What was it like to see the burning bush? What was it like to see the Ten Commandments, receive the Ten Commandments? Or ask David, what was it like to slay Goliath? You know, maybe they'll turn to us and ask, what was it like to have the Holy Spirit living inside of you? Guys, we have been enabled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we walk in love, exercising this God-given ability, we can help people. We can help in assisting in bringing spiritual wholeness, physical healing, and help to those that are in need. That is a bona fide promise of the Word. I'd like you to turn to Acts 26. We're going to close here. Acts 26. Been a wonderful opportunity for me to share with you guys today. I wanted to close with this verse, which I do believe is something that still applies very, very much to us and to our ministry of Acts Now Fellowship. Living the book of Acts today, this is what it is. And in Acts 26:18, in the King James, it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is Jesus speaking these words to Paul when he's meeting with Paul on the road to Damascus, right? Amazing. Well, I wanted to look at another translation, which I'm sure you don't have there, but I will just read these here to you from the Living Bible of Acts 20:18. Very similar. To open their eyes to their true condition, so that they may repent and live in the light of God instead of in Satan's darkness, so that they may receive forgiveness for their sins and God's inheritance along with all people everywhere, whose sins are cleansed away, who are set apart by faith in me. This is a great, great thing to be reminded of. And it doesn't matter what your denomination is. It doesn't matter what, you know, many times what you believe or don't believe or whatever. This is common ground upon which we can stand, okay? We can't, you know, determine how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, or for that matter, whatever thing people want to argue about. But we can commonly come together in unison to do our best to help people, to minister the word, to bring the light of God into these dark places where so many people exist and live and maybe don't even know they have a choice. So we can help to open their eyes, or at least lead them to the word, which will then help them to have their eyes open spiritually. And so this is a great mission. This is a great opportunity that we have to be walking forward in the new year. And, hey, this is the new me. I'm going to exercise more this year. You want a goal? Sure, exercise physically, eat better, do all the things you want to do. But exercise your spiritual authority as a son or a daughter of God, and we'll be having these testimonies to tell, too, about seeing the living God in action, in helping people. Not to puff us up, but to just glorify God, because that ended up being the end result of this, that people saw this miracle and said that they glorified God. That is the ultimate goal in everything that we do. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together in the Scriptures, the living, breathing Word of God. And that, Father, we learn day by day just to keep moving forward, a little bit at a time, hear those things that you're putting in our hearts to hear, that our ears are open to wisdom and to your sweet voice, Father, and that as these opportunities lay in front of us, wherever we may be, that we can step out boldly to exercise our spiritual authority. And pray about these things this morning, Lord, in the wonderful and the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, huh? Wow. Thank you, Barney.